ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on in to Wednesday, Christmas Eve, this December 24th, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Christmas Eve. Most of us are getting off early from work today, this hump day Wednesday, celebrating our Lord and Savior's birth. Christmas tree is up. Perhaps the presents are already there, or maybe they're coming tonight when Santa comes. But we want to look at the absolute true meaning of what tonight, tomorrow is all about. Celebrating the Lord and Savior's birth. Isaiah 7:14 reminds us of the Virgin Mary naming her child Emmanuel, God with us. His common name she gave per the prophets that came to her in her dream, spoke to her and Joseph. You will name him Jesus. One of the things that I think we get wrapped up in is the commercialism of the event. Playing Christmas music on the radio station, buying gifts, plans to get together with family to celebrate Christmas. This Christmas, take a moment with the little ones. They have to understand the true meaning of the celebration, the reason for the season. This is something that is very important for us to pass on. I somewhat ask you to make sure that you talk to the young ones and understand that the importance of them knowing what Christmas is all about needs to be stated. If you're not going downstate, they're not coming up from downstate, you're going to call each other. Or maybe if you have iPhones, you FaceTime. Or maybe you might do some Teams video meeting, whatever, however you talk with the family. Talk to the kids, the grandkids, the little ones. Make sure they understand truly what it's about. And don't trust the parents perhaps your children, to tell the grandchildren about it. You do it. This is a legacy from grandpa and grandma for you to understand what it's about. Christmas Eve, heading into Christmas Day, they have to understand what it was all about. Why do we celebrate Christmas? If you want to explain it that way, that's fine. We're looking forward to Christmas at home. We'll be talking with the family, and I'm going to make sure that I talk to the little ones directly. Join me in doing that. Ask the Vet. Dr. Jeff is going to be in the house in the next segment here, Christmas Eve. Text me any questions you may have. Short break. We'll be right back.
Lansing and Michigan needs to be fixed. Ax My Tax is a citizens' ballot initiative that would eliminate all property taxes in Michigan. Stop the theft of our homes, farms, and businesses by corrupt governmental entities and their outrageous spending. Help us make Michigan affordable to businesses and families once again. Go to axmytax.org, sign the petition, circulate petitions, and donate to help us fix our great state. Stop the stealing that's going on in Lansing. Join us. Go to axmytax.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659. The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I've defeated the current Attorney General by actually representing the 2020 Trump alternate electors. It's time to end the lawfare here in our great state, and no more ever using the law as a weapon against patriots. Delegates, back me at the March Endorsement Convention to reclaim justice and to make Michigan red again. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number one on this Christmas Eve Wednesday. Reporting in for duty, as usual, is Dr. Jeff up at the Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Just heard your commercial air, and it triggered a question. I've had this from quite a few other people in the past over the years we've been doing this interview together. Dr. Jeff loves them all, so give him a call. And where did you expand your practice at the Sioux Animal Hospital to include so many different types of animals? You know, we all have heard the story. You talked about it. your love of animals came with horses in the beginning when you were very young, and then you were exposed, of course, to taking care of dogs as a member of the United States Army. Where did you learn to get into all these exotics and all these other animals that you treat up there at the Sioux Animal Hospital?
Well, it probably started when I went ahead and think back. Actually, I was in high school. Had a pet store in the neighboring town over, and this is when iguanas were popular. Lizards started becoming popular as pets. My mother would never have me have the big one, but I would have like the little small, the little anoles. These are the little ones. Like if you go down to Florida, they're everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny. They're everywhere down there. Here, we pay 10 bucks a piece for them. Down there, they're like everywhere. I started with that with lizards and stuff. And I've had lizards and snakes. You know, I was kept as pets. And it's just kind of, you know, I always thought they were interesting animals. I've had fish tanks. I've bred betas, those Siamese fighting fish.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that before in high school and things like that. So I've always kind of been into, you know, some of the other animals. And animals, just like anything else, they still require medical care. And it's hard to find, you know, there's not as many people that will, or veterinarians, because we really don't get trained on them. What we do is we learn. You learn how to learn. You learn how medicine works, and then you can just extrapolate it from that. For instance, I just did a sugar glider's teeth yesterday. Took a tooth out on a sugar glider. So
what the heck is that?
It is a small little marsupial from, obviously, Australia, I think. Yeah. And they look like a little flying squirrel. Okay. They can glide from tree to tree. They tend to eat nectar and fruit, stuff like that. They can eat some bugs and things like that too. But they brought him in. Like, well, doesn't want to eat hard food and da 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 da. And I'm like, all right. I looked at him. He's got a swelling on his face. I'm like, you know, if this was a dog, I'd say he's got a tooth abscess. I go, let me be right back. So I go in back, and we have our own little veterinary information called Veterinary Google. Veterinary Information Network. So I kind of get on that, and it's all just a whole online community of veterinarians. We're like, hey, has anybody else seen a sugar glider with a, you know, what is this? I said, I think it's a tooth thing. And they're like, and I looked it up. I'm like, yeah, apparently they can get dental disease just like, you know, a dog or cat does. It's like, okay, so you just kind of, all right, well, I know how to treat it in a cat. So it's kind of the same thing you treat it in a sugar glider.
Sugar glider. Never heard of that. And this thing, they keep it as a pet, inside the house?
Yeah, inside a cage.
Inside a cage. Okay, does it ever get out and fly around? How does it operate?
Yeah, they probably do. I don't know. I've only ever seen them in here. They're nocturnal. Anybody wants to get one will know, first of all, they're nocturnal. They're like super over-caffeinated chipmunks. Because they're like boom, 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 like everywhere at once. So if you're going to, that's the biggest thing too. If you want to get exotic animals, okay, or odd, and honestly, even at this point, I don't even count rabbits as exotic animals anymore, because that is becoming so ubiquitous for people having house rabbits, because you can kind of litter box train them. But we see a fair amount of rabbits here. We had a ferret this week too. See ferrets we've had in here, sugar gliders. Actually, it's not the first sugar glider. We've had a bunch of them.
Interesting.
Bearded dragons, lizards.
Oh, talk about snakes. That one is really cool. Talk about the bearded dragon. What's the history of that particular breed?
Well, they get their smaller little. Fortunately, they've replaced the iguana as like the starter. I'm using air quotes here, starter lizards. Because I don't know if people, you know, Gen X and like that can remember back in the day when you could go down. I can remember when you could go down to the pet store and buy an alligator.
Oh, yeah.
pool, baby alligator. And yeah. then I showed, you'll probably remember the ads in the comic books. Hey, you want a pet monkey? Send $16.99 or whatever.
Right.
We'll mail you a pet monkey. You know? Yeah. I'd pull up the ad and show my office manager because he didn't believe me. I'm like, yeah, back in the day, that was kind of it. But now the beardies are a lot better. They don't get as big as the iguanas. Iguanas get big. They get real big. And they're hard to feed. They have a very specialized diet. And they usually have a personality, and it's usually mean. So they're not lizards for everybody. If you want to make research them and take care of them, then they're great. But if someone wants to start out with a lizard, I get a bearded dragon. They don't get very big. They're not aggressive. They're diurnal, which means they're active during the day, so they're not up all night. And they are you can take them out and handle them. And we used to have one. I've had a couple as pets over the years, and we had one that we had a leash for it. It was a pretty good size one. His body was about 8-10 inches long. But we had like a little harness. You'd put them on, and we'd take them during the summer, obviously. But we'd take them out and take them for walks, you know. Uh-huh. And he'd walk around outside and, you know, do lizard stuff, of course. Yep.
That's funny. Yeah. And let me ask you this question. A situation where, as a pet, where if somebody wanted to get a bearded dragon, where would they get it from?
Well, right now you can buy them at a lot of the pet stores carry them now because, like I said, they're captive bred. So that's the one thing too. You want to make sure when you're dealing with these things, you got to make sure whatever you're doing is they're not depleting natural wild populations. Okay. Right now, a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing, because I always kind of go through the pet stores and kind of see what they got, and we've gotten good enough now with reptile breeders and things like that, that I'm sitting here thinking, I can't even think of any species right now that I've seen that's not captive bred. The reptile industry has cleaned itself up really well, and they're not depleting wild stock. Okay.
Right. The natural environment.
Yeah. Which one, you don't want to deplete the natural environment. Two, if you're getting it from the wild, it's not necessarily going to adapt to captivity very well. It's probably going to have parasites. It's not going to thrive. So, even on the other side of that coin, you don't want to waste your money on the things too, because they're not going to do well. So.
Sure.
But lizards, and they're very interesting pets. They're very unique. Leopard geckos we've had in here, chameleons, like the ones with the eyes on the turrets that, spin every which way.
Yeah.
Those things are pretty cool. Their tongue is about as long as their body, for real. Seen them shoot out. I used to have one as a pet. Gary was his name. It's a veiled chameleon. My name is Gary, after SpongeBob's pet snail.
Right.
And, so they, but the biggest thing, research. Okay. So if you want to go ahead and you want to get something like this, do your research first, because 99% of all the problems that I deal with on my end when they're sick can almost all of them can be traced back to diet, husbandry, the cage. You're not taking care of them quite right, things like that. So really make sure you get your setup going, even to the point with hermit crabs. A lot of times they try to sell these things as like cheap, easy pets. I'm like, yeah, they're still an exotic animal, and it does take a certain level to take care of it, an amount of husbandry. You can't just throw them in a jar with some sand and water and there you go. They won't do well. So really research whatever you're interested in. Now with the advent of the internet, research.
Right. Now, just a quick question. A lizard, a bearded dragon, whatever it is that you're referring to. Do people sit around and watch TV holding their bearded dragon, their lizard, or do they just keep them strictly in the cage?
I've seen both. My first wife had the that's who we had the beardy with. Yeah, she would sit and warm up a rice pack and sit there, and he would lay right on that rice pack and just lay there, and she'd just watch TV, and he'd just lay there, you know. Yeah, they have, you know, they do have personalities, and they get, I mean, it's not a dog or a cat, okay? You know, you can't right. really do that. But they do get to the point where they recognize their owners, you know. I don't know if it's because you're a source of food or what, you know.
Right, right.
But yeah, they do interact with you and things like that. Snakes, not so much, but, you know, it's a snake.
Who the heck would ever want a snake? I'm sorry, but that's just not something I even have an appetite for.
I've had three or four over the years. If you want to get a snake, I would recommend either a corn snake or a ball python, okay? Because these snakes, they stay small. They're easy to care for. You know, they don't take a lot of, you know, a large room or things like that. My largest snake that I had at one time, obviously this is before I was married, 15-foot reticulated python. And that thing had its own room in the house. I didn't feed it mice. You had to feed it like rabbits.
Oh, and, my God.
And it, yeah, I mean, it's a cool animal and everything. But, you know, there's a certain level of, you know, you do hear about people getting killed by their snakes. And, yeah, I mean, it's just like horses. It is a large animal, and you do need to be careful with it when you handle it and things like that.
Unbelievable.
You know, so... But yeah, there is all kinds
happened,
of
whatever happened to your python.
Let's see, what happened to that one? One I sold to a friend. I had a Colombian boa that was about 10 foot long, and I sold that to a friend who had a lot. He was really into the reptiles, exotics. And things like that, the exotics, yeah. And the zoo. Yeah, it was a small, like, kind of a smaller zoo getting ready to go, and then they were looking for animals, and I was like, well, I got this big snake, and they're like, okay, so the zoo knows how to set him up and everything like that.
Sure.
What's the wildest thing? Oh, I had a toad. Somebody brought in he rescues toads, like American toads, like you'd see outside.
Sure.
And this one, he rescued it because it was sick. He was rehabbing it over the winter and going to release it in the spring, but it had a prolapsed cloaca. They don't really have a rectum like we do. They have what's called a cloaca. So he brought that in, so we had to kind of put it back together. Yeah, that's kind of, you never know. That's one thing about being a veterinarian and doing this. You literally never know what's going to happen.
What's coming in the door.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, we wanted to talk about it because we've never gotten into all the different species and breeds and all the things you guys do. But basically, a full-service animal hospital up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And I want to give out the phone number, 906-635-5910. And if you ever want a second opinion, just ask your vet to email the pet's file directly up to Dr. Jeff. Info. All spelled out at SueAnimalHospital.com. SueAnimalHospital.com. And you can send that email, and Jeff can look it over, and you guys can talk and get a second opinion and see what you have. Especially when it comes to surgeries, Jeff. I know that's something you truly, truly love to do.
Yep. We do quite a bit of the higher-end surgeries and the more odd ones that, you know, sometimes you have to go downstate for.
Right. Well, you have a blessed and merry Christmas, sir, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Bottom of the hour news break of hour number one. We'll be right back. This is